This first prayer request is for Sage Kimsey, who's having surgery today. And Sage is the 5-time All-American National Final Rodeo bull rider.
Related to Ted Kimsey?
Yes, his okay. son. Yeah. Tuesday night at San Antonio, his bull fell on him, and it tore the ligament that attaches two bones together in his ankle, which in turn twisted the bone, and he opted to have surgery, and he's in surgery today.
Okay. All right.
So that's the first one.
Okay. Well, I've never met Sage, but I have seen the sign, and I do know his dad, okay? And the whole family is they're cowboys. They're genuine cowboys. So, Father, we just thank you for Sage Kimsey, and we thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Every tongue of bad diagnosis and gloom, and that you're done, your career's over, is stopped in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for corrective surgery that's going to bring about that which he needs, the healing that he needs to continue his career. In fact, Sage, you're going to go back and ride a bull long before the doctor ever says you can, because your injuries are going to heal fast. So we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, for providing for him. I know this is how he makes his living. We thank you for providing for him beyond the monies that he gets for riding in these rodeos. And thank you, Father, for his whole family, for Ted and everybody and Jennifer and everybody, that they all have peace with him and all is well with the Kimsey family. In Jesus' name, amen.
This next prayer request is for Ivan Barrera, who received a new liver a couple of weeks ago. And he is doing great. Wow. We want to thank God in advance that this his body will not reject that new liver. Well, he's waited a long time for that liver. Been on dialysis for I'm not sure how many years. And been believing that God was going to heal him either miraculously without a transplant or bring him a transplant.
Well, he got his transplant.
Yes. And then we want to pray for Bonita, who had a procedure on her heart yesterday. Wow. And they kept her in the hospital. She's in Oklahoma Heart Hospital. And we prayed a couple of days ago about this. What Bonita told us was if this surgery did not fix her problem, she was looking to a heart transplant. So we want to believe that this is the surgery. She already has a pacemaker, defibrillator. Yeah. So we want to believe with her that this is going to be the final surgery that repairs what needs to be repaired.
Okay. Father, we just, I'm reminded that I didn't say it for the first time we prayed, but as I always do, I like to quote Matthew 18:19, where Jesus said, where two or three shall gather together in my name. If two or three of you shall agree to touch anything in earth, it shall be granted to them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Thank you, Father. The three of us in agreement, and we're in agreement with Ivan. We're in agreement with Bonita for both what they are believing for with their faith. And we thank you, Father, first of all, for my brother Ivan. We thank you, Father, there is no rejection of this liver in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that his liver and his body come together as one. Come together as one. That there is a connection of that DNA. There's a connection of the DNA, and it's able to join together and work together like the computer code is designed to do. Binary, 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 binary. Thank you, Father, for multiple fusion there in Jesus' name that his liver will take and he's free from dialysis. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Ivan's body. And thank you, Father, for Bonita McCullough. We agree with her. This is the last of it. It stops right here, Bonita. The heart problems stop right here in Jesus' name. I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Ezekiel 36, where it says, a new heart will I put within you, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. Now, it's really talking about the new birth, but it does apply here. A new heart. A new heart. We thank you, Father, that Bonita is healed, and all these procedures are stopped in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all the corrective surgery that's happened, the defibrillator, and everything that was done yesterday. We thank you, Father, that it all stops now in Jesus' name, and she's able to continue her life pain-free, medication-free, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have one more. This one is for Pam Patrick. She is our receptionist over at the Family Care Center. And once a month, Lee, she has to have shots in her eyes. And this Tuesday when they did the shot, the assistant used some drops after the injection that she was allergic to. So she was in excruciating pain after that, and, you know, they tried rinsing it out, but it still caused a lot of pain and suffering from that happening. So there's the paper with her name on it, Pam Patrick.
So I take it she's still in pain?
I believe she's better today, but yesterday she was not able to come to work. She just stayed home and nursed that and kept cold rags on her eyes. And the shots are already very uncomfortable. Yeah. I know a couple of people that have to have those.
And yeah.
They have a lot of, you know, that's enough pain without using something you're allergic to in your eyes.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, Father, for the Bible, that it's true. Now, Pam, the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and by his stripes you were healed. I speak healing to your eye, not only for the results of the mistake made by the medical technologists and total restoration from that, but healing in your eyes just in general, in Jesus' name. The injections have just got to stop. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for healing her eyeballs, her iris, her pupils, the nerves, everything that's in there. We thank you, Father, for bringing them to restoration. And we thank you, Father, for giving this technologist favor with Pam, and she can forgive him in Jesus' name. That's what's rising up in me, forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, how can your heavenly Father forgive you if you do not forgive others? So we thank you, Father, for favor for this technologist, favor beyond what even she can comprehend, that this person has favor, and she has seasoned with the love of God and can forgive them. Because of that, you can move in her life, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We're going to take a moment and hear from our sponsors. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Getting your oil changed or having your tires rotated isn't always the easiest thing for a woman to have done, but it's always been just fine for me because Barber Dyson Ford takes care of everything. They've always treated me professionally. I've never had to worry about unnecessary work, and the work they've done has kept me on the road and it's kept me safe. That's one reason I'll be a Barber Dyson customer for life. Thanks, Barber Dyson Ford, for providing outstanding service for 25 years.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
Nothing is more meaningful than knowing God has made us to live with purpose, adventure, and significance. That a community of people are committed to helping the struggling and discouraged regain their hope and direction. And what's more relevant than helping families grow closer together in a society bent on driving them apart? Many people are convinced that the teachings of Jesus Christ are irrelevant and boring. The folks at One Church in Elk City are just like you, learning to live and finding that following Jesus Christ is anything but irrelevant and boring. One Church, 200 East Broadway in Elk City.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Elk City United Methodist Church is located on the corner of Country Club and Boone, across from the Big Red Barn. Sunday mornings, our celebration traditional service is at 9, Sunday school at 10, and our New Day contemporary service at 11. Worship services live stream on our website each Sunday at elkcityumc.com. There you will also find past messages, more information, and our calendar. And please like us on Facebook. Elk City Methodist Church, real faith for real life.
Happy New Year from Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City. We're excited about 2020, and we are also excited about the all-new Lincoln lineup. The 2020 lineup has all new body styles with the Lincoln Navigator, Aviator, Nautilus, and Corsair. They will take your breath away. They're all new redesigned body styles. And also, Lincoln offers 0% financing on all models. Come see us at Barber Dyson Ford. Let us make your 2020 a great year.
And we're back. We're going to let you get right back into it, sir.
I was just getting tickled at Monica. She and I were having a discussion about technological matters here. And Monica went, yeah. Now, I don't want to know how old you are, but I kind of know how old you are. I know kind of how old Eva is. I know how old I am. I'm just making a social commentary here. You know, okay, I'm 66. Now, I don't act 66, I'm going to tell you right now. And in my heart, I still feel 18 in my soul, okay? And I know Neva does. I know Monica does. And that right there, what Monica does, you know, yeah, you know. Well, reason I bring this up because I never saw my parents or my grandparents act like us, you know. And it's because of changing culture, you know. And everybody acted old. Now, sometimes we act old, but maybe we wobble around or hobble around, or you know, or struggle to get out of a chair or struggle to get out of bed, and then everything kind of gets into place. But we're just different than our parents and our grandparents. We just are, you know. And I've made that comment to numerous people, but see Monica go, yeah.
That's my funny. Grammy at like 55 wore feed sack dresses and aprons.
Oh my gosh.
And she would never act like we act.
Oh, I can relate to that. I can remember, you know, going to my Uncle Jed's house, my great Uncle Jed and Aunt Mary in Caldwell, Texas. And they were old. Of course, I was six, you know, but they were old. But, you know, they farmed watermelons, by the way. But anyway, so. But my parents too. I mean, I just, you know, we're mature, but we're just more childlike. And in a way that's good, in a way it's bad. You know, Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you'll no way see the kingdom of heaven. So, but then again, we've got a lot of adults who dress and act like children. Most of them are men, by the way, you know. And I know I'm off subject here, but I'm going to throw one of my pet peeves and a conviction out here, but you know, and where it's on display the most is at Walmart, you know. but to go in there and see grown men dressed like Dennis the Menace. Now, when I say, now, Neva knows who Dennis the Menace is. I know she does. And we actually had a TV show called Dennis the Menace. And one of the things that Dennis would do is he wore these overalls, okay? And he was always, you know, just a minute, Mr. Wilson. And he would empty his pockets, and he'd pull out a frog and a salamander and maybe a garter snake and then a knife and a spoon. And that was just one pocket. Then he always had all the stuff in his pockets. And, of course, they were high waters, you know. Back then, everybody wore high waters. And then if you didn't wear overalls, you're what we call pedal pushers, which are what a lot of the women wear nowadays, you know. And they're high waters. And I always tease my wife when she has hers on. I ask her if she's going waiting. But you go into Walmart and you see these men with their hats on backwards. And you see them with their baggy shorts, and you know, you just and they're slovenly dressed, and the scripture that always wells up in me is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke childish things, but when I became a man, I put childish things away." You know, and that's so it's good that we're young, but then it's bad that we act young, because there's just so many immature, but mostly men, walking around right now. Anyway, let's move on. That's just my social commentary. Let's move on.
Better be careful this morning, because Kathy's been watching the whole program.
Uh-oh. Yikes. I'm going to get it now. Okay. So, she always comments about things I say, too.
Yes, she has this
she
morning.
She has been.
And they're probably,
she's been amening things that you've admitted about yourself.
Well, yeah,
well, that's the truth.
That's public. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. So let's go. We're talking about angels, and we're talking about Daniel, that the Lord sent an angel to shut up the lion's mouth. Now, I've read to you out of Psalm 91, where if you'll say the Lord, that he's my God, my refuge, him will I trust, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, he's going to protect me, and the angels are going to bear me up in their hands to keep me from dashing my foot against a stone. You know, a lot of people, when they pray, they say, pray travel mercies. I'll say that, you know, just for kicks and giggles, but this is what I pray, Psalms 91, that thank you, Father, that as we drive, the angels of the Lord bear us up in their hands to keep us from dashing our foot against a stone. We're protected in Jesus' name. Now, let's go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. You know, poor Neva, I've got her over there writing down about 30 verses, but obviously we're not going to get to them, but I sure hope I do every time. Anyway, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's read about angels. Now, for context's sake, I'm going to read the whole chapter so we can get to the last verse, which qualifies what about angels, okay? Verse 1, Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. He's talking about Jesus, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Okay? For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his ministers spirits, maketh his angels spirits, and is his ministers a flame of fire. So there, we know that they're spiritual beings, they have spiritual bodies, and they are the ministers of God. They do the beckoning of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, when Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, when Paul talks about in Hebrews that when God gave forth the law, the Ten Commandments, God, it wasn't just God's voice that he heard. It was God speaking and the innumerable host of angels speaking the word of God. What a sight. That's why when the children of Israel, it's amazing to me because they had a sinful nature. But they're looking up there and they're seeing all that smoke and fire. Well, it's just not God up there. There's a jillion angels up there, and they're manifesting the glory of God. They're speaking the word of God. But the angels have their place. They're God's ministers. And under the old covenant, a lot of people believe that it was Jesus, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But we had the angel of the Lord always went and did the bidding of God. Remember what Jesus said about Jacob's ladder? And I believe it's in Matthew, where he's talking about children. And he says, the Father does always behold their angels ascending and descending out of the ladder, out of Jacob's ladder, in, from heaven back onto the earth. Going up, coming back, going up, coming back. They're sent by God. All right? Now, verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. Now he's talking about that we're going to get a new earth, and this old crappy thing that we live in, even as nice as it is a cesspool, because it's been tainted by sin and by death, is going to be done away with. And I'll tell you how that happens in just a minute. And we're going to get a new heavens and a new earth, as is talked about to us in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth descending out of God from heaven to the earth. Blam. He puts it there. And he talks about the four walls and how tall and how long they are and how wide they are. And there's three gates on every side made of pearl. That's where we get the term, the pearly gates. Okay. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Verse 12. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fall. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not? And he's classifying what angels are. Okay? They're heavenly beings, but they are not God. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So here's what happens. Let's say you're thrown in the lion's den, and you believe God like Daniel did, and you put the word of God on your lips, God is going to dispatch angels. All right, Andronicus and Zama Zama and Zuma, go out there and help Monica. There they are, blammo, okay? And they're going to do what they can, if you'll cooperate with them, to intervene, to bring about the miracle that you need or the intervention that you need, okay? Now, in the book of Acts, I quoted this already, but I'll say it again. When Paul was going to Rome to appear before Caesar, he's going there because he wanted to preach the gospel to Caesar and give him the gospel. But they encountered that storm that lasted for weeks, and it was called Euclidon or Euracledon or whatever it was, which means tempest, which means hurricane. And everybody was panicking. The soldiers that were on board, the other prisoners, and all the sailors were on board. And they didn't eat for like 2 weeks, however long it was. And finally, God's angel appeared to him and said, "Paul, don't worry. Not a hair in your head's going to be hurt. Nobody's. You're going to make it." And everybody did make it back. And that's when he got to the island, and then he was doing the firewood, and the ass bit him, and the natives said, "Oh, man, this guy should have done something bad because he should swell up and die in just like 4 seconds." And Paul just shook the snake off, and he was healed. And anyway, so an angels are going to come and help you. Now, let's go over here to, let's just keep reading. I want to keep reading. Let's read here in verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore," the next verse, got to remember that the Bible was not written with chapter and verse. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by him that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." Now, I'm reminded of, in the book of Acts, when Peter was thrown in prison. And it says the saints, I think this is in Acts chapter 8 maybe, or chapter 5, it doesn't matter. It's in the book of Acts, okay? And Peter was thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, and he's in prison, and the saints were in another house away from the prison, and they prayed. And it said that an angel walked into that prison, walked in through Peter's cell door, and smote him on the side, said, "Peter, wake up." And Peter woke up, and it says he didn't believe that it was an angel. He said, "Let's go." And they walked out of that prison. He opened the doors, and he left that prison, and they went into the house where the people were praying, and they didn't believe it. But yet it was an angel that actually, Peter is known for unbelief and arguing with the Lord. That's just the story of his life, okay? You know, they prayed, and he's probably praying too, okay? And so then the angel shows up, "Get up, Peter, let's go. Let's go. Come on, we're leaving this place." So they leave, and they get to the house, and then everybody's excited, and they rejoice. And then the other event where we know that it was an angel was in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were in prison. Okay, and it said that after they had been beaten, they took him to prison and put him down in the innermost part of the prison and fastened their feet in stocks. And it said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas sang and gave praises to God. And this is what the Bible says. And the prisoners heard them. So they weren't sitting there going, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord." No, it was, "Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You have delivered us. You set us free." Paul quotes those kind of, you can see some of Paul's quotations in his Confessions of Faith in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, reading on from there, and 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 through about 7, where he says, "We were always believing God to get out of these jams and these horrible places that we've been in." So they sang and gave praises to God, and it says, it doesn't say angels were there, but it's typical of God. It said that an earthquake happened, and the whole prison was shook to where all the doors opened and everybody's bands were loosed. Well, I think that angels did that, okay? And so, of course, the result of that is the head jailkeeper, he runs in there and he's freaked out because he knows that he can't explain this. And he's going to be executed at the worst, executed at the B, at the best, he's going to be beat within an inch of his life. and called me. That's what they called examining them. And he goes in there and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your whole family be saved." And so the jailer takes Paul and Silas and they nurse their wounds and they take them there and they lead their family to the Lord. And from then on, with the jailer, all is well that we know, okay? But angels did that, all right? So be assured of this, that if you'll, when you get thrown into a lion's den, what do? Well, don't sit there and think, "My God, I'm going to get eaten by the lions." See Daniel's lion's den as a metaphor, figurative of any adverse situation you would be in. It could be one that you've put yourself in through your own stupid decision, or it could be one that you didn't even see coming, or the Lord's trying to tell you, but you didn't hear him and you didn't see it coming, or you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. But it doesn't matter. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. God's not all, you know, freaked out about whether or not you deserve it or don't. He's just, he's merciful and he's wanting to get you out. Now, let me close with this. Go to John chapter 10. Let's read about Jesus. Because I said this, that there are many preachers, and I see this all the time on social media, and it's everything I can do. And sometimes I do interject, and I rebuke these people for saying these stupid things. But it's posts like, well, here's the most famous one. God never gives you any more than you can handle. Okay, and that's a misquote of 1 Corinthians 10:13. All right, that is not what that verse says. And then the other one is, they'll say something to the effect that God has sent this your way to make you stronger. Adversity is always counterproductive to what God wants to do for you. He's trying to lift you up. He's trying to build you up. He's trying to strengthen you. And I'm going to prove it right here in the Bible. John chapter 10, verse 1. Now, Jesus is going to give us the parable of the shepherd and the sheep. Verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." That's the devil, all right? "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." That's Jesus. He's going to tell us that. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, the stranger, for they know not the voice of the stranger." So who's the stranger? Well, pretty soon he's going to tell us that the stranger is the hireling, something that is not the shepherd, who doesn't want to help him, who's not motivated to protect the sheep, and he's not going to protect them from the wolf, who is the devil, all right, who's going to try to eat the sheep. Okay, now let's read on. "This parable," verse 6, "spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which were there which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, 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 I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me or set themselves before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus is painting the picture that he's wanting to protect the sheep. Why would he go in there and hurt his sheep? It's not there. Let's read verse 10. "The thief," who's the thief? The robber that he talks about, and who comes in some other way and promotes himself as being sent from God or being God. That's the thief and the robber. He says this, "The thief cometh not but for three reasons, to steal, to kill and destroy." That's it. That's the thief's mission. That's not God's mission. "To steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. He runs and he fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine." So Jesus is always trying to protect you. He wants to protect you. The Lord wants to protect you. But you've got to get the word of God on your lips and begin to say, "I am in God's refuge. I'm under his wings. I'm protected by the good shepherd." Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning for myself, Monica Lovell, for Miss Neva Pyatt, and for Mr. Lee. Y'all have a blessed weekend. Amen. And a happy Valentine's Amen. Day. Happy we Valentine's will see Day. You Monday, and stay tuned for the Truth Podcast.
There you go. Way
it's
to go.
Following the program. Way Y'all have go. A blessed day.
Let us pray. Let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.